Audio Drama Production Podcast, Episode 36. Do I Need Expensive Equipment?
The Audio Drama Production Podcast.
Hello and welcome once again to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. A big welcome to everyone, old and new. Let me just direct you, as usual, to the website where you'll get all the show notes and much more besides. That's audiodramaproduction.com. Now, on today's episode, we'll be continuing our field recording theme, and we'll be celebrating our old friend, the one that's been with us from the very beginning, the Zoom recorder. And we'll also be discussing John Ballantyne and Hungry Hollow. What's that all about then, Mr. Matthew?
I was wondering where I was going to get a mention there. I was waiting patiently in the wings.
But
continuing the field recording chat from last week, and we did mention that this week we were going to have John on. He's sent in a fantastic wee bit of audio going through the making of Hungry Hollow. If you haven't heard that before, it's a wonderful, wonderful one-off sort of horror audio drama. We'll have links to it in the show notes, and certainly this will whet your appetite. And the great thing about this, you know, it's such a good sounding piece, and it was actually done with our favourite bit of kit, the Zoom recorder, the Old Faithful. And that just makes me love it even more, because I really do like the Zoom. Shall we fire into that and pick it up on the other end?
I'm feeling hungry.
Hey, Matthew and Robert. I'm sorry we couldn't do a Skype interview. I was actually really looking forward to that. But unfortunately, my computer is in bad need of a tune-up, and my Wi-Fi is in bad need of a tune-up as well. So hopefully we can eventually get around to doing that. That would be fantastic. But I've sort of put together a little segment about your questions about Hungry Hollow and the hold field recording exercise that we went through in trying to do that episode. So here you go.
What are you trying to do? Scare her into sleeping with you?
There's only one sleeping bag.
Guys! Guys, look at this! Am I too early? I'm early, aren't I? I'm going back.
No, you're perfect.
That was good.
That was good.
What are you laughing at? That was a
Maybe it was a little over the top, but
no,
I
wasn't over that. That's going to read well, and you don't know what the hell you're talking. That was going to be a good line. That was my best line.
I could still use that. And if
I'm going to do that that way next time. Here we go.
If it's okay.
I did one the first time that's not like that.
All right.
So you could use the other one. I like it because it sounds good. Because I got scared. I looked at the
when I originally started coming up with the idea to do Campfire Radio Theater, I really wanted to field record every single show. That was really what I wanted to do. And I just wasn't capable of doing it. I didn't have the field recording rig. I didn't have enough really local acting talent to pull that off at the time. So I couldn't do every show like that. So I sort of put that idea on the shelf for a little while and started recording this show in more of the traditional studio type manner. You know, I would bring local actors in to record here at home, sort of in a home studio environment, and then I would occasionally use some remote actors in the first few shows that we did. Sort of in backup roles. And I sort of proceeded along that that path for a while. And when it came time to do Hungry Hollow, I thought, well, this is absolutely the best way to do this show. Let's do it as a field recording. Let's go out on a location and do this, because most of it takes place outdoors. And I thought it was just an ideal story for that approach. So by that time, I had a little recorder, and I felt like we could pull it off, and we could do it. And so that's kind of what we did.
Let's see. You can hit it whenever you're ready, man.
What's hit it? Oh, just say it. Okay.
Yeah, let me turn it around this way.
Cool. There you go. Ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Well, we used a Zoom recorder. It's a Zoom H2N, and we actually used the built-in microphones. We didn't use an external microphone to record with, and the Zoom is a handy little recorder. It does a lot of things really well. And I was pretty, you know, actually I'm recording with it right now. So, you know, that should give you an idea. But it, you know, fits in the palm of your hand. You can take it anywhere. I mainly, one of the things I thought my main use for it would be recording sound effects and sort of recording ambient environments and stuff for use in the show. And the more I played with it, I thought, well, this thing sounds pretty good. I think it sounds just as good as my, or more or less as good as my studio mic setup. So I felt pretty confident about taking it in the field, taking it on location, and trying to record a show with it. So, you know, we put it on a tripod, took it out in the woods, and that's how we recorded Hungry Hollow.
Go ahead and run it in case it's just magic.
I'm going to start walking, so maybe it'll pick up my footprint.
Okay. Hey, I don't want to alarm anybody.
We sort of blocked some movement around the Zoom, and we set it on a tripod. We didn't really do any actual movement with the recorder itself. We just kind of kept it stationary and had actors move around it. And we didn't do a lot of movement, not nearly as much as I really probably would have liked to. You know, we basically did some, you know, very basic blocking and had, you know, an actor position off to one side or another actor position more centrally. And then we might have somebody, you know, that enters a scene and they might enter from the far left or the far right. Or somebody exits a scene and you have that movement.
You know what's weird?
Now I understand what you're saying.
I am getting like some weird weird electronic noise in this side here. And it's weird as it just starts to get dark and that stuff starts to happen.
Yeah. I'm going to be hiding in the car in right 5 minutes, you know that?
Read my lines from the car. Pitches.
Okay, you want to hit Sounds Groovy, dude?
There are all kinds of problems doing something on location. You know, if you do, whether it's, you know, a film shoot or you're recording audio drama, it doesn't, there's always kind of complications and there's things that arise that sometimes you expect and then there's things that you don't expect. We recorded the main body, the stuff that we did in September in the southeastern United States here in South Carolina, which is where I live. And it's still very hot here sometimes in September. You know, it was, I think, around 90 degrees. And we were off on a pretty deep in the woods down a long dirt road. And we were dealing with things like mosquitoes and insects and stuff like that. And when it got dark, you could start to hear the coyotes howling in the background. And so there was a lot of different things that we sort of dealt with in trying to get it recorded.
Yeah, I don't think, there's not one documented case of a coyote attacking a human, at least not fatally that I've heard of. So I think you're all right. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go up to it and pet it or anything. Uh-oh. That sounds like a big damn dog.
So, you know, there's constantly things happening in the real world. You've got, you know, even if you go out deep in the woods like we did, we went down a long dirt road and went to this old church to record this, to try to find a place that was quiet enough. But you still had things like, you had airplanes going overhead. And you had, you know, suddenly, you know, it sounded like, you know, we were near an airport or something because there was, you know, every time you would turn around, we had to stop. But just be prepared to take a little bit longer than you normally would.
Just a little shaking.
Hang on. That's a car.
Yeah.
Any luck? Not anyone coming to arrest us?
Any luck? It's not the police.
Slowing
of course,
down.
It wouldn't have been the first time.
Ideally, when everything comes together and you sit down to mix, it usually, that process usually isn't as long, unless you're spending a lot of time trying to figure out how to take out some of the sounds that are in the recording that weren't supposed to be in there. But,
hey, there's two jackasses back in the woods here.
The mix portion of it is more straightforward, I think, when you do a field recorded show, and it's easier. And less time-consuming.
Hey, Jay, check this out. Check out these spiders, man. They're either fornicating or she's eating them. I don't know why, but it's a cool shot, man. You should get it.
I'm not taking a picture of spiders getting knocked up, right? You could take it if you want.
You know, I think any time you get actors together, it's it's going to sound better. If you can get actors together, whether it's in a studio environment, whether it's in a field recorded situation on location, it's going to sound a little bit better. There's a certain energy there. There's an electricity in the air that you have, and it's very much an intangible type of thing that's, well, it's hard to manufacture that. You know, when you're piecing together remote actor performances, you have to, as a mixer, you have to manufacture the chemistry to some degree, and you have to mold the performances to a very large degree. And but when you've got actors together, it just improves everything, and it makes, you know, these scenes sort of come alive, and suddenly you've got them sort of riffing off each other and doing things that you hadn't expected. And you know, these are obviously things you can use, or you can tell them, hey, you know, stick to the script or whatever you want to do. But oftentimes you find that the stuff that they come up with as a collaboration collectively, you know, when you put these actors together, it's often better than what's on the page. So for some people, it's not as easy to do that. You know, remote actors work out better for them in their situations. But if you can, you know, if you can manage it, this is, you know, it's definitely the way to go.
It's freezing out here.
Shh, it's invigorating.
Where are we going?
You'll see. It's a secret. I bet you like it, though.
One thing that's kind of interesting is...
Are you crazy?
When we started recording with the guys, we had sort of a very narrow window of opportunity to record with the guys. And it's one reason why I don't field record as much as I would like to, because of the simple logistics and people's schedule and trying to get everything of that nature coordinated. But at the time, we didn't have the part of the girl cast. Shelby had not been cast in that part, so we had to record around all of her stuff. And one of the things we had one of our friends, Brian Dunaway, who's a brilliant podcaster in his own right, he basically was the stand-in for the girls' lines. And Brian has a very deep voice. His voice is actually deeper than mine. So he, a lot of that stuff, the outtakes of that material where things get sort of hot and heavy or romantic, tend to sound
kind of
strange.
Come on in and warm up. I'll make it worth your while.
Well, okay. Can't believe I'm doing this.
You seem not bad at all, is it?
You're right. It's kind of nice. Let me go back and do this line. Again.
I'm having trouble reading my lines because.
Yeah,
anyway, all of Shelby's stuff was recorded a couple of months later, and she actually came in, and I recorded her on the Zoom. But you know, at that point, it was the middle of winter, so we were actually recording indoors, and I tried to basically create as quiet a recording environment as I could, to sort of match up with the other stuff that had been recorded months earlier on location. So it was something that I was very concerned about. Would it all match up, and would I be able to mix it and edit it together and make it sound like she was present in the scene with the guys?
You see, it's not all that bad, is it?
Are you crazy? You'll freeze out there.
It's not that bad, really. Come on. Sorry.
That's okay.
I'll do that again. It's not that bad, really. Come on in and warm me up. That also sucked, but I'll do that again, so it'll be all right. It's not that bad, really. Come on in and warm me up. I'll make it worth your while.
Are you crazy? You'll freeze out there.
It's not that bad, really. Come on in and warm me up. I'll make it worth your while.
Okay, I can't believe I'm doing this.
You see, it's not that bad, is it?
All right. That's kind of nice.
Now come here.
If you can do this, if you can get a troop of people together locally and you can go out and go to a location that sort of matches what you have in your story, in your script, then go for it. It can sound really good if you do this. There's a lot of potential, and there's a lot of very good things that can come out of it.
Dude, how bad am I, by the way?
Hey, you're fine.
Okay.
Let's go. Hey, Blaine, come over to this side here, and let's get you on this side.
Your side?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Let's put you about right here, so you'll be kind of centered.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello?
I'm rolling. Ready?
Yep. I think it's best to almost do a hybrid of both, you know. Use remote actors, use local actors, and if you can, throw in a field-recorded show here and there. You know, use all three approaches if you can get away with it, and find out what works the best for you. Find out what works the best for the show that you're trying to produce. There is no, you know, one way to do things. You know, you do things however works best for you, whatever capabilities and resources that you have available to you. Hey, you know, that's what'll dictate what you can do and what you can't do. It's a great, you know, actually field recording is a great approach if you can, if you've got the resources and the people locally to pull it off. And, you know, I highly recommend it. At least try it.
Thanks once again to Mr. John Ballantyne from Campfire Radio. I really like that piece. I actually heard it a month or two ago, and it was one of my nights where I couldn't sleep, and I was lying in bed with the lights off, listening to it, thinking, right, yeah, that's me ready to sleep now. Good grief. So, as you say, the one of the best things about it is that it was done with the Zoom, and it goes back to what Julie Hoveson from 19 Nocturne Boulevard. She's always been saying that you don't need expensive equipment to make good stuff. You just need to know how to use the tools that you do have. And here's the proof right here.
Well, that's a message that we've heard from, you know, like you say, Julie. It was something that Dirk Maggs said. It was something that Rick Veers himself, you know, the king of audio and sound effects, said that technique trumps technology every day of the week, because it's how you use this gear. And take something that's, you know, very affordable. In fact, I think the last time I checked a Zoom recorder, it was about I think you could get a new one for about $150, which I think is about 100 quid sometimes. Yeah, these things change. But, you know, compare that to, and I'm not saying that the Zoom can stand up to, you know, a boom pole and a Rode microphone and a blimp and all these things, but these things cost hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of pounds sometimes. People like you and I, Robert, you know, we're a long way off recording gear like that, or buying gear like that. And to know that, you know, that wee bit of kit, the Zoom recorder, £100, you know, it has its limitations. It's very sensitive to the wind, but we've recorded some great stuff with it, and it's a very, very useful tool, especially if you're just starting out and looking at experimenting with some field or location recording.
Yeah, and if anything, it's the delicacy and the difficulty that comes with that type of recorder, the Zoom that it is. It teaches you to respect it and respect the conditions around it, the wind, the surroundings, the room you're in, the noises that come from seemingly far, far away but are actually carrying through. You know, like trying to interview someone and there's a vending machine two rooms away, and this Zoom, it knows that vending machine's there, and it picks up every vibration. So, you know, it's a good teaching tool in that way.
So, I mean, what we've sort of done recently, it was a while back, I bought, and I think I've mentioned this on the show before, I bought a selfie pole. And this was before we were on Instagram, but I bought a selfie pole because it actually screws into the bottom of the Zoom recorder, because the wee threaded hole under the Zoom recorder is supposed to fit on digital camera tripods, and I think that's what John actually used doing Hungry Hollow. But this wee selfie pole, I think it was about £6 or £7, screwed into the bottom of it. All I did was took a wee washer out the kitchen drawer just as a sort of, almost like a shock mount, because there was a wee bit of play on it. So I stuck that under there, and I bought the Ryko wind jammer, which I think was 20-odd pounds. So straight away there, it's, you know, again, I'm not saying that it compares to the professional field recording gear, but we've recently created some wee dramas with it, and, you know, it's working pretty well, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd be happy for you to call it a a Zoom poll from now on. I do flinch every time you say selfie poll. But, it works perfectly fine. And as I was saying before, if you respect the conditions, you can get amazing technique out of it.
Sometimes I think, you know, you have to be a wee bit inventive because, we recently, we recorded Time is Money, the audio drama, and we'll get to that in a minute. We'll talk a wee bit about that. But we also used it for the Captive Minds drama that we created. And I'm fortunate, I've got an area in my garden where the house sort of juts out. There's like a porch and the next door neighbour's house juts out. So it's a very sheltered alcove. And you can record some good outside dialogue there, uninterrupted by the wind. And then sometimes you just have to go and record your soundscapes. Because if you think about it, if we wanted to put something in Princes Street in Edinburgh, it's not practical to go there and try and record dialogue. It's probably the busiest street in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could record some, I think, wild track, as they call it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And just lie that underneath. And again, it's just about being inventive. You can't always go to these places and record conversations. So if you could record them somewhere else and, that's free from wind and free from too much background noise, you could create something that's really, really good.
Yeah, wild track is something that we haven't talked about very much, actually. And for those that don't know, I'm sure most of you do, wild track is simply where you've made a recording of a location that has its own noises. For instance, a busy street. And you record nothing but the background noise for an extended period of time, and then use that to layer underneath the dialogue that you add in later. And reminds me of a story when I was at uni. One of the modules we were doing, the one that I actually did the blind spot for, if anyone remembers that one, 5-minute drama we made. This guy, he didn't really know what to do, and the module was just to sort of make recordings and stuff and come up with something. It could be a drama, it could just be an experimental piece. And all he did was he walked down a market, like an outdoor market, with his Zoom recorder and just recorded it. And he walked up and down a couple of times and then submitted it. And he sort of made out that he'd layered it and done this and done that and spent like a lot of time weaving the audio together. And all he did was like record a street, and then he got like top marks.
You were seething. I remember it. You were utterly seething.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember. I think we were in the Harbour Bar in Kirkcaldy. You'd had a few pints, and it was something that you wanted to get off your chest, shall we say, at the time.
Yeah, it's funny how, as I'm telling the story now, I think it's actually quite funny, and I've got nothing against it whatsoever. But yeah, at the time when marks were there to be had, and I hadn't had my final grade yet, and yeah. It struck me as unfair, I have to say.
So yeah, like we say, there's the opportunity to record your dialogue elsewhere. You know, we record stuff in the house and places where it's quite quiet or sheltered, and you can go elsewhere and record your background. Weatherspoon's pub recording, because they have no music, that was one of my favourites. So we've stuck that under a few scenes in productions we've done quite recently, and that works pretty well. Because you're able to record the actors talking to each other, and then you can just soundscape it with something. It'd be a bit more difficult if you went into the pub and tried to record a scene, especially after 6 pints.
Yeah, we have enough trouble just recording the podcast, let alone a scripted dialogue drama, so ill-advised. And that's another thing as well, is that a lot of people want to do absolutely everything from scratch, like, if they want a crowd, then they'll play the crowd and they'll play 3 or 4 characters themselves, and they'll get other people to play the crowd and they'll weave it together and they'll get all the different sounds, and they've got like 50,000 sound effects and stuff just to recreate like a busy background. When, as you say, just get to the pub or local establishment of some sort and just record it. It's a lot easier and it's real.
So just to sum up, I thought we could stick a wee clip on of something we made quite recently. It was a very, very short drama called The Accident. And this was recorded in the car with you and Jim and it was the car was stationary. I was sitting in the back seat recording it. You guys were in the passenger seat and driver's seat, respectively, and all the other sound effects were added in afterwards, and I think it worked really, really well. We even got some praise from Fred Greenhold, who is, you know, he's the ambassador of field recording, so it was it was pretty nice to hear that. So will we stick that on now?
Yes, absolutely.
Will you slow down?
Oh, what are you, my mum? I don't want to be late.
If we're 15 minutes late, it won't be the end of the world.
It'll be the end of the world if someone's eating all the buffet.
It's hardly worth the risk of killing us both just so you can stuff your face with scotch eggs and sausage rolls.
I hate eggs, you know that.
Well, maybe the party buffet isn't the ideal place for you to dine.
They'll have chicken. I like chicken. Tuna sandwiches too.
Lee, seriously, can you please slow down? You're doing about 60.
Well, this road is a 60.
Not in this darkness it isn't.
Oh, yeah, because that's how speed limits work. Can you text David for me? Tell him we're 5 minutes away.
I don't have his number.
Oh, hang on, we'll get my phone out. Lee? 2-6, it's in here. Got it.
And it's funny, you know, on reflection, the good thing about the way we recorded it, the fact that we were actually physically sitting in the car, is that it was a lot easier, I think, to get into character. You know, I was sitting in the passenger, the driver's seat. I really was driving fast. I really was, you know, agitated about getting there quickly because I'm impatient. I really was actually physically was reaching into my pocket to get my phone out. You know, it made it really come to life in a way that isn't always achievable when you're just stood in a dark booth trying not to kick a microphone.
Yeah, it's a very, very good way of doing things. And like you say, very easy to get into character. You don't need a director to tell you that this is what's happening because you're actually there. And it's much more easy to picture the scene in your mind and to act it out, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Well, shall we talk a little bit about Patreon?
Yeah, or Patreon, as I call it. Patreon. As you call it. But you say tomato.
I say potato. Right, anyway, Patreon. We've had a pledge from our friend Karim.
Yeah, it's the second pledge. It sounds a bit like a film, doesn't it? The second pledge.
The second pledge.
But Karim's the second person to pledge to our Patreon. Kessie was the first in Germany, Kessie. And coincidentally, just used Karim on Time Is Money. Again, we'll get to that shortly. A brilliant, and I'm not just saying that because he's given us money now, but what a fantastic voice actor. There was a few comments about this in the group, in the Facebook group, again, links in the show notes, because Kessie, coincidentally, again, the other person who's pledging Patreon money, was using Karim in her audio drama. And if you're looking for a bad guy, I hope he won't mind me saying that, but well, we put a wee clip on from the drama.
Absolutely. Fire away.
Aha! You must be Rose.
Mr. Jennings?
Indeed. Please have a seat.
Thanks.
Glass of water?
Yeah, sure. Listen.
You're curious as to why I paid your criminal bond and invited you up here.
Well, that's an understatement, yeah.
I've never actually visited the lockup before. They tell me it's a filthy place.
It's no palace.
And no place for a talented young lady, either. You're from Sector 72, I hear. That's not much better than the lockup, is it?
We do our best. Look, Mr. Jennings, I'm really grateful and all, but...
Of course, of course. You have other things to be doing. Better things than talking to an old fart like me. I'll cut to the chase. I'd like to offer you a job, Rose.
A job?
Yes.
But...
I've handpicked you for this role. That's why I paid a lot of money to get you out of that cage.
I don't understand. I'm not...
I'm a busy man. I need to pop out on a few errands. If you're interested in working for me, just sit here and watch this video until I get back. Otherwise, you're free to go.
Just like that?
Of course. We're a free society, are we not?
Some are.
There you go. I'll be back shortly. Help yourself to tea and cakes.
In the year 2515, on board the New Hope Space Station...
Yeah, sure.
We have peace,
Good, good.
So again, thanks to Kareem for pledging to us via Patreon. And, you know, it's as you say, he is a really, really good voice actor. So it's no hardship for us to point that out. And, you know, everybody's just heard him there. And no one can argue that he's a real find for us, because we're always looking for different voices and people that we might be able to use in future for our projects. So happy days all round.
So yeah, thanks to Kareem again, fantastic voice actor. I hope he doesn't mind us putting that there, and if he gets lots of offers to do work on various audio dramas, that he won't invoice us because he has to quit his day job to fulfil all these roles, and then we don't get the $2.50. But on the subject of Patreon, I managed to set a target. We're looking for $40 a month, because that's how we could become a financially sustainable podcast, you know, with a website and the physical address that we need to buy once a year, and the hosting as well. So if we could get up to $40 a month, that means that when it gets to July, when we're a year old, we don't have to curl up and die.
Yeah, and it is something we genuinely were talking about just a couple of days ago, wasn't it? I think I asked you that, you know, how were we off financially now that we've got a couple of pledges coming in, and we're not quite self-sustaining in terms of the hosting and everything, but, you know, it's every little helps, and we're going in the right direction, so we're fairly pleased, aren't we?
Yeah, so if you're a fan of the show, if you appreciate what we do every week and you enjoy the podcast and you think we're worthy of buying us a cup of coffee every month, and we won't spend it on coffee either, then get on patreon.com. Again, all the links in the show notes. And, you know, if you could pledge $1 per episode, that would be very, very welcome. Elsewhere, we mentioned Time is Money a few times, so that's the latest audio drama that we've put out, and that's a bit of a, it's like a hybrid sort of experimental piece. There's satellite recording, there's studio recording, and there's field recording in there, and in the end it worked out pretty well, Robert.
Yeah, I love it actually, yeah, and it was really fun to take part in terms of the, what would you call it, site recording, I guess? Yeah, we were on, no, field recording, because we were in the house. It does indoors count as field recording?
Yeah, field or location, I suppose you could call it.
Yeah. Aye, because we were using the natural ambience of the house to help paint the picture. So yeah, that does count. I really like it, and I hope we do a lot more that way. And it reminded me, actually, of production on any big movie, you know? Because, like, you'll have your big outdoor shots taken by the helicopter that sort of goes overhead to show that the hero's driving down the motorway or highway or whatever. And then you'll have your other shots where they're in the lift and it's very cozy and up close and stuff. So, yeah, it reminded me of it in that way, that, you know, we adapt to the circumstances and we've got different techniques that we're working on, and it just shows you how flexible audio can be.
I just wanted to give a wee heads up to Martin, who was the composer who worked on the show, Martin Matheny. And we actually found Martin through listener Doug, who lives in Los Estados Unidos. Do you know what that is, Robert?
Los Estados Unidos. The city of... No. I don't know. I could look it up, but... A stadium? The city of... No, I haven't got a clue. I'd be plucking out of the air.
Yeah, it's actually the city of Atlantis, because he has gills like Kevin Costner in Waterworld.
Oh, I see. So, is this another branch of Atlantis? Or is it Atlanta? Or where is this?
It's actually just the United States in Spanish.
Oh, well, is it? Right. Okay, that's a shame. I was all excited there. I thought we'd finally, you know, branched out from Overworld listeners, and we've gone into the depths, but never mind.
Yeah, we've got an email from Cthulhu and Rule Ye.
Oh, that'd be good, eh? Love the show, lol. Deaf to all living beings. Anyway.
But, yeah, a wee heads up to Doug and Martin. Doug lives in America. You know what he loves about Scotland? He's obsessed with something in Scotland.
Is it whiskey? The voices? Our love of money.
you're going to see whiskey, then you're going to see golf.
Yeah.
Then,
Haggis.
Haggis, nope.
He loves our football team because we're so successful.
Shinty.
Shinty?
Doug, wow. Doug is the biggest Shinty fan I've ever encountered. And, you know, I think we just don't really live in Shinty country. I mean, we do live in Scotland, but this part of Scotland isn't really a Shinty area. I think it's more a, you know, up west sort of thing, up northwest.
Yeah, I think it's equivalent to, like, some parts of the USA and NASCAR. You know, you don't really get NASCAR up in Washington, from what I understand, or in New York or whatever. So, no, I'm not equating Shinty to NASCAR in terms of the kind of stigma that goes with it, if you like, with some people. But Shinty is very much an old-school sport, I think, a niche sport. But we used to watch it on TV now and again in the 80s, me and my brother, and I'm like, yeah, I'd like to give that a go, you know?
It looks violent. Like, they don't wear helmets or that. They just hit each... Well, they don't hit each other, but they hit the ball with the big sticks.
And if each other gets hit, then so be it. Yeah, it does look rough as hell. Shinty, absolutely go for it. Why not? It's quite big in Ireland as well, isn't it? Or do they call it something else?
Doug likes Scotland, eh? He likes the Scottish, shouldn't he?
So... Oh, well, the man likes what he likes, that's it.
So big thanks to Doug, because it was through him that he got in touch. His pal Martin Matheny, a music composer, he was interested in working with some audio drama producers. So Martin actually did a lot of music for that show, and it was really, really good, and I look forward to working with Martin in the future.
Yeah, tremendous work. Thanks very much. So, correspondence then, and looking at the tweets, Tony McCall, he got in touch, and he was talking about Aftermath, our very own audio drama series, which we've not long finished, and he said, just listen to episode 1, I'm gripped. Episode 2 is ready to go. And we got back to him saying, cheers, Tony, did you get through any more episodes? This was like a day or two after, I think. And he came back again and said, yeah, I finished the whole lot the next day. Loved it. Can't believe the ending. Sat in silence for a good 10 minutes thinking. And that, to me, that is the best accolade that we could have asked for. You know, because we really wanted the ending to hit hard and really sit on people's minds afterwards. So thanks very much for that, Tony.
Yeah, Tony's here in Scotland, from through the west, I think, and he's a courier, so he listens to a lot of stuff through the day. I tipped him off to We're Alive, so hopefully he gets into that, and there's a whole load of audio dramas out there waiting on him, because I think he's been spending money on Audible every month, as we all do, but, you know, you don't have to always pay for audiobooks. There's a lot of much, much better audio drama out there. Tony's a courier, so I hope he didn't sit in silence for too long, because I was waiting on a parcel and it never came.
Are you blaming him specifically?
I think it was Tony that was delivering it, so thanks, Tony.
And looking at iTunes, we had a little review there from our friend Scott Lamont from Good Podcasts, and he put this review on the 7th of March, which happened to be my birthday. Anyway, that aside, essential community and advice for audio drama producers. 5 out of 5 stars. Yahoo! Matthew and Robert from Yap Audio host this podcast, which is essential listening for anyone involved or thinking of getting involved in audio drama production. They provide plenty of advice and interviews with other producers that will inspire you to get creating. And don't forget to check out their own post-apocalyptic radio drama, Aftermath. So, thank you very much for that, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Fantastic.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. I was just updating my CV the other day, actually, and I put on there that we won an award from the Good Podcasts podcast.
We did. Like. We did, yeah. And he's back now. He's doing more, so that's good news, because he'd jacked it. He was doing other things, but I think a few folks said, please keep doing that. And
totally.
The people spoke, so...
Fabulous,
I think he's actually... up for a podcast award. You know, the big podcast awards in America
Oh, right.
Not that podcast, but another podcast he does. I think it's the Unsigned EDM one. Electronic dance music.
Oh, right.
Not quite my cup of tea, but, you know, I listen to Alice in Chains, so...
right.
But, that's really, really impressive. I'm really pleased for him. I hope he does well. I think you have to vote on those awards every day, I think. I don't know a lot about it, but... I think that puts a lot of people off voting in it. Because you would think, well, if I vote once, that's fine. But then I suppose these things are murky. If anything that involves voting can be fixed or bent in certain ways. I'm not in any way saying that they are. I'm just saying it's a difficult thing to manage, isn't it?
Yeah, or it could be flawed in terms of how they get their votes. I mean, even the Oscars, I found out recently... you have to be not nominated, but you have to send a submission in to be considered. So it's not just a case that they've looked at all the films that have come out across the world to decide which ones are the best. It's really, really which ones had the best publicity or, you know, the best amount of people pushing for it. So, as you say, it's a murky affair.
But if the voting, you know, if it's still a public thing, if it's not referred to a panel of judges, I'll certainly be voting for them and... Maybe the listener can too. Maybe you can too. Maybe we can win it for them. I'm not saying we've got tremendous influence, but you know every vote counts. So
a little envelope of money in the right place and
I've
sorted.
I've got that here.
Yeah. And I noticed there's no spam email of the week here.
Well, just before we get to that, earlier on Twitter, you know the audio drama Wikipedia, the famous website audio-drama.com audio-drama.com. We all know the site, it's the Wikipedia site for audio dramas, and I feel quite bad because I don't know the person behind it, or if I do, I don't know that it's them, so don't know if he's male or if she's female or what his / her name is. But we've always had a wee dialogue going, and he or she had said that they have a page on Reddit, and if we wanted to go on there, there's quite an active community of audio dramatists on Reddit. And I got back to them, and I said I was a bit scared of Reddit, because I imagine it is the type of place where you get heavily trolled, and I'd be a noob, and I'd get pwned, and I'd have to leave the site, but... I'm assured that it's not like that. They're actually moderating the group themselves, so keep an iron fist on that sort of thing. Poning and trolling and things like that.
I think you're thinking of Counter-Strike or World of Warcraft or something.
Really? I imagine Reddit is a place where, you know, the young poner who's only 14 and has nothing to lose and has all the time in the world to sit and call you everything... And I go and cry because I've read it and I'm upset.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Like, some of these websites are a bit hardcore, if you like, and where angels fear to tread and all that. But I'm glad that you've been welcomed to that particular corner of Reddit.
Yeah, I've never been on Reddit. I mean, I've read it. Play on words there.
I wondered if that was coming.
But... I bet that's never been done before. I've read the group. It looks really good. A few people that we know on there, Mr. E.C. Bond, I seen he was there. So I'll have to get signed up. But I did say on Twitter, I hope it's not another place that I'm going to procrastinate in, because only so many hours in the day. But yeah, it looks a good wee community. So we'll stick the links to that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, it's funny that actually about, you know, all these different resources and places to look, because one of the main reasons I'm not even on Twitter very much nowadays is because I now follow so many different interesting accounts that I just don't have time to keep up with it. So it just went by the wayside. So maybe I'll just need to cut an extra hour out of sleep or something and get on Reddit. Ho-hum. Do you want a spam email of the week? I've just had a quick look at my own inbox.
Well, if you've got one, go for it. I mean, I was just going to say that the stuff we had in our own account, it was pretty much similar to what we've had already. There was a couple of absolute belters, but because we're a family show and they were of an adult nature, shall we say,
Right.
It wouldn't really be appropriate to read them out, unfortunately. If the listener has any, they can always forward them our way and we'll read them out. But if you've got one yourself, feel free to go for it.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you the address first. It's account hashtag, not hashtag, what do you call it? Hyphen. Account hyphen security hyphen no reply at account.microsoft.com on behalf of Play Slots. So, yeah, that looks like it's the real thing.
It's legitimate.
Luck is in the air. Join 888 Casino.
Luck is in the air.
Join 888 Casino and get £88. Click here. Yeah. So, thanks very much to Microsoft.
Is that it?
Yeah. To keep it brief.
Not even trying.
Thanks to Microsoft.com. Yeah. For letting me know that luck is in the air.
I got one a few years ago from Bank of Scotland at yahoo.co.uk.
Decent.
And after I obviously got back to them with my bank details, they were promptly emptied the next day. So
I do have a few other ones, but I think they're real companies, sadly, for them, because they do look spamish. Like, looking for a credit card, but your credit isn't perfect? No. So, I'm glad we tied that up.
That's sorted. We did have one, if I remember. I've not got the computer in front of me, but we had one about helping the Ukrainian army. I don't know if they've seen the way we look. We're not exactly... you wouldn't fancy us in a fight, would you? I'm not sure that the Ukraine army would have anything to benefit by having us on their side. I'm sure they're doing all right without us.
Yeah, no, I don't really fancy a fight with the Russians. Or anyone, really, but especially not the Russians. So, no, not for us, thanks.
I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm just not very good at either.
Yeah, oh well, it's something to aim for. Are we about done there? You want to mention Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and MySpace and Bebo and Friends Reunited?
I think you've done it, to be honest. I don't think there's too much need. All these things are in the show notes, as they always are.
Use Google, Yap Audio, Audio Drama Production Podcast. The only thing I would add is that if you really want to speak to us, and why wouldn't you? We're always on Facebook. Get us in the Facebook group, Audio Drama Production Podcast.
Just add us as friends. I don't think we have any real friends where we live, so it's always good to have some internet friends. We could get together on Yahoo Chess and play each other.
Yeah, I did used to play drafts on there once or twice, but then I got asked if I wanted to do dirty things, so then I had to stop.
Drafts?
Yes, like, hey, how's it going? Great. Want to get naked?
Well, on that note, next week, what are reviewers looking for in your show? And what better person to tell us that than Sir Lawrence of Raw? That's his medieval knight's name. His real name's Lawrence Raw. You'll be familiar with him. Radio Drama Reviews website. Great guy. Caught up with him a wee while ago and had a good chat, so looking forward to bringing you that next week.
Fantastic. Good old Larry.
He's the man.
Yeah, he probably doesn't like being called Larry. I have no idea if he has ever been called Larry, so I'll take it back. But I'm looking forward to the interview.
Yeah, it's a good one. And we'll reconvene. Reconvene? I've been full of these words tonight, these words that don't exist. Don't know. It's late. It's what, back at 11 now?
Yeah, it is. What with me finishing at 10, sorry about that.
It's all right.
Stay in touch, folks, and just remember that the meal that feeds two can feed three.
Right. Okay. See you next week.
Cheerio.